we have been thinking about singing.
Something I am terribly missing now that I just can't hear it, can't really participate in it properly anymore. For a long time, we've been thinking about the Psalms. We've been thinking about some of the most beautiful compositions that have ever been written. Much as I've liked Joni Mitchell through the years, I confess to that. Still, nobody can compare with the inspiration that lies behind the Psalms. We had occasion a few weeks ago to look at Korah and the sons of Korah, and this morning we're going to do a very similar thing, beginning this morning, looking into some historical records as we consider a man named Asaph, who is responsible for the first of the Psalms in Book 3 of the Psalms. If you've been with us for the last few weeks here, you will know that we've talked about the fact that the Jews in Old Testament times, and even in New Testament times, you know, but in past times, had divided the book of Psalms, which we think of as one book, into five separate books. And the words of Solomon in Psalm 72 are the last of David's, in his mind, as we saw last week, because Solomon was fulfilling David's wishes. So, Psalm 72 marks the close of the second book by the Jewish reckoning. That leads us into the third book, starting with Psalm 73, though we'll actually be looking at Psalm 50, because in the book of Psalms, Asaph wrote Psalm 50, and several then in the third book. So we're just going to look at the one this morning, but I think it'd be well, like we did with the sons of Korah, to appreciate just how wonderful this guy was and the influence that Asaph had over the Old Covenant times and people, and particularly the worship that took place both surrounding the temple, the tabernacle, and within the temple itself. So if we're pleased in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, let's first find out who this man is before we then go to Psalm 50, which is not the third book where all the rest of his psalms are, but is the first of his. It's about 975 B.C., and that's pretty rough date, but it's somewhere in that vicinity, that 1 Chronicles 6 is taking place. And down in verses 31 and 32, we have this information about something that David did in the course of his life. These are those whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord after the ark rested there. And they ministered with song before the tabernacle of the tent of meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, and they served in their office according to their order. Now, there's quite a bit that's said, as a matter of fact, about the organizational skills of King David, not just the magnificence of his song composition, what we call the Psalms, but the fact that he also was very intent upon forming, under God's inspiration and guidance, a system of worship that would endure for a millennium. And so for hundreds of years to come, David's influence in arranging how worship was conducted is just profound. And this first statement here, 1 Chronicles 6, if you skip on down now to verse 39, it says, Heman's brother Asaph stood at his right hand, even Asaph, the son of Berechiah, the son of Shemaiah, and it goes on down all the way, actually, through verse 43, with his lineage. You know how intent they were with their lineage. The first time Asaph appears is in 1 Chronicles 6, and he is a friend, probably, but certainly at least a compatriot of David. And David is organizing now because Jerusalem has been established under his kingship as the capital city of the Jews and the great place then where God is going to be worshipped, that center of the Jewish religion for 1,000 years to come. Now, in 1 Chronicles chapter 6, the tabernacle, the mobile tent of meeting that had existed since the days of Moses and had been through the wilderness wanderings and several other places even after they'd come in to the promised land, but which had never had a permanent dwelling place, has just been brought by David into his city, Jerusalem. And there it has been placed upon that mount that we know as either Zion or the Temple Mount. But it is located now, that tabernacle, as a permanent place for the worship of God. And David sees now that with the kingdom so well established and very defensible, a city that's been built up, you know, it's going to have all the walls and be, you know, quite the presence for God, a majestic location for his worship, something all the world is going to marvel at. David is really intent then, and again I want to emphasize, under God's guidance, to establish then a formal manner for worshiping the Lord. So starting at that moment when the tabernacle moved to the Temple Mount, David starts arranging things, and Asaph is going to play an extremely prominent role. Now also in 1 Chronicles, if you'll skip down to chapter 15, chapter 15 verses 16 through 20, as you see on the screen, David spoke to the chiefs of the Levites. So there's your Levitical priesthood tribe. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves. I backed up there, excuse me. David, in 16, spoke to the chiefs of the Levites to appoint their relatives, the singers, with instruments of music, harps, lyres, loud-sounding cymbals, to raise sounds of joy. So the Levites appointed Heman the son of Joel, and from his relatives, Asaph, the son of Berechiah, and from the sons of Merari, their relatives, Ethan the son of Kishiah, and you got a bunch of others there, but skip now to verse 19. So the singers, Heman, Asaph, and Ethan, were appointed to sound aloud cymbals of bronze. So now, just a little bit later, but at the same time frame, it's about 975 B.C., David is employing now instruments of music that will be used in the Old Covenant worship. Much like, as you well know, the sacrifice of animals was. It's been done away now. But at that time, they were employing those musical instruments. And Asaph and his family, who are priests, or at least of the Levitical tribe, they are going to be the loud bronze cymbal players. Now, I wish I knew. They had a kit like we think of drummers, and they were hitting, you know, something on a stand, or if it's more like we think of marching bands, you know, where they had two that would come together. But I rather think, brethren, that it was probably really an impressive thing. It's cymbals, plural, and loud. But also think that just like today, there's many different kinds of cymbals, and they have a wide range of musical tones, and you can employ them skillfully to make really very beautiful music. As we know today, it's still being done to this day. So this man, Asaph, is a preeminent singer. He is also an instrumentalist, and he and his family have been designated by God through David to handle the cymbals among all the other instruments, because God wanted to have a really loud music in worship, both instrumentally and vocally, under that old covenant. In chapter 16, and the first 8 verses, they brought in the Ark of God and placed it inside the tent which David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he distributed to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to everyone, a loaf of bread and a portion of meat and a raisin cake. And he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. There's nothing very dirge-like or funeral-like. There's nothing very sad about any of this, is it? It's all designed to be just extremely joyful. Celebration, thank you, and praise. But there's verse 5. Asaph the chief, and second to him, Zechariah, and then Jael, and you have several others, and in the middle of the verse, with musical instruments, harps, lyres, also Asaph, loud sounding cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel the priest blew the trumpets continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then, on that day, David first assigned Asaph and his relatives to give thanks to the Lord.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Speak of all of his wonders. And really, brethren, from there all the way down through verse 36, you'll notice the way it's constructed. It's a psalm. This was the day, brethren, of Israel's just greatest rejoicing. This is the very symbolic end of all of their wanderings. This is the very impressive beginning of a firmly established nation that has a capital city, that has a place for the worship of its God with what will become the temple that Solomon, David's son, will build. This is for these people the full fruition of their hopes and dreams going back generations and generations of sojourning, after which they've been named Hebrews, and then had enough of it. I'm sure you would too. And so this establishment of this nation, of this kingdom, with its capital city and its place of worship, is just going to be attended with the most extreme joy and thanksgiving and praise. And brethren, it must have been deafening and beautiful as these people gave themselves to praise their God with all their hearts, because they truly felt that gratitude, that thanksgiving, that joy. They were the chosen people of God, and every promise had been fulfilled, and the end of their difficulties and the unhappiness is just over. And sure enough, brethren, they were going to have then, especially under Solomon, years and years of peace and prosperity to come. Asaph is the chief of these musicians on this amazing day. Now, about 25 years or so later, you come into 2 Chronicles. And in 2 Chronicles now, just a few pages later, turn over to chapter 5, and we're going to be reading there last few verses of that chapter, and then just barely into chapter 6. Starting in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, 11. 25 years later, so about 950 B.C., when the priests came forth from the holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without regard to divisions. So there were certain divisions David had also set up, not to worry about that. Everybody's going to do this commonly now. Verse 12, all the Levitical singers, who's listed first? Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, and their sons and kinsmen, clothed in fine linen, very pointedly prepared to come into the presence of God, with cymbals, harps, and lyres standing east of the altar, and with them 120 priests blowing trumpets in unison. When the trumpeters and the singers were to make themselves heard with one voice to praise and to glorify the Lord, and when they lifted up their voice, accompanied by trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and when they praised the Lord, saying, He indeed is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting, then the house of the Lord, was filled with a cloud, so that the priests could not stand a minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. Then Solomon said, The Lord has said that He would dwell in the thick cloud. I have built you, speaking to the Lord, a lofty house and a place for your dwelling forever. Then the king faced about, blessed all the assembly of Israel. While all the assembly of Israel was standing, he had much to say throughout the rest of that chapter. And now, brethren, 25 years later, it's not just that we have our city and our place and that horrible tent, the Ark of the Covenant, with its attended vessels, has been placed on this mount. But Solomon, brethren, after 7 years of building, has established the first temple of Israel. It is a mark to behold. It is a structure that just puts all else to shame in this generation and time. And it is of such magnificence in its architecture, but also in its construction. The gold, the silver, the tapestries, you know, the purple that was draping this thing and encrusting this thing was a way of envisioning the majesty and the glory and the value of your God. And who's there? Who's the chief? Same guy, Asaph. 25 years after David had selected him to be the chief of these musicians. Now, please note the big time jump here. So we're not going to be talking about Asaph himself, obviously. We're going to skip, essentially, 300 years to get into 2 Chronicles chapter 35. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. And verses 1 and 2 will set the stage for us. Josiah, King Josiah, celebrated the Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their offices and encouraged them in the service of the house of the Lord. Skipping down verse 13, they roasted the Passover animals on the fire according to the ordinance. They boiled the holy things in pots and kettles and pans, carried them speedily to all the lay people. Afterwards, they prepared for themselves and for the priests, because the priests, the sons of Aaron, were offering the burnt offerings and the fat until night. Therefore, the Levites prepared for themselves and for the priests, the sons of Aaron, the singers, the sons of Asaph, were also at their stations according to the command of David. Asaph, Heman, and Jeduthun, the king's seer, and the gatekeepers at each gate did not have to depart from their service, because the Levites, their brethren, prepared for them. So, about 300 years later, brethren, these people have failed miserably. They forgot, they neglected, and they had allowed to just decay and fall completely out of service this magnificent temple. And Josiah comes back and says, no way. And he's only 8 years old when he becomes king. And in these next 12 years, we are told, he is intent on rededicating that temple, cleansing that temple, repairing that temple, and reestablishing in that temple the proper and appropriate worship of God, which ought to be, in whatever age and however God designates it, an outpouring from his people that is truly deep and sincere and abiding, but joyful and just full of appreciation for their God. So once again, you have extreme joy at the rededication of the temple. But lo and behold, brethren, for 300 years, those people never forgot that David had established this thing. And they had it written in the Chronicles, which we've just read, that these sons of Asaph, that was to be down through the generations. They've got a 300-year-old tradition now that these are the people who are to worship God and lead us in the worship of our God, in this place. Now, another 100 years goes by. So we're up to 400 years. Come down to Ezra this time, which is just the next book from 2 Chronicles, and look at chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It came about in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, wine was before him. I took up the wine, gave it to the king. Oh, geez, now reading Nehemiah. A little bit too far there. See, that's all due to my ear. Ezra, chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, these are the people of the province who came up out of the captivity of the exiles, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away to Babylon, and returned to Jerusalem and Judah, each to his city. These came with Zerubbabel. So you got Jeshua, Nehemiah, you know, the rest are being named, but that's the time frame. Skip to verse 41 now. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 128. That family is still known. That family comes back even out of Babylonian captivity. There's 128 of that family that are going to be responsible for a rebuilding after Nebuchadnezzar tore the Solomon's temple to the ground. They're going to build it back up again, and they are going to go back to serving their God the way they were supposed to, no matter what had come between them and their God in years gone by. In chapter 3, if you skip down to verse 10, when the builders had laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with symbols to praise the Lord according to the directions of King David of Israel. And they sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good, His loving kindness is upon Israel forever. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because of the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Yet, many of the priests and Levites and heads of fathers, the old men who had seen the first temple, wept with a loud voice when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, while many shouted aloud for joy. Well, they saw that it was just a small shadow of what Solomon had done and what Nebuchadnezzar had torn down. But we're going to build it the way God told us to, whether the preceding generations of people have served our God rightly or not. We're going to do it. And we're going to go to the book. We're going to go to the record. We're going to go all the way back to David in 975 B.C. We're going to read all of this and we're going to apply all of this because we are the people of God. Another 100 years or thereabouts goes by. And now you get to Nehemiah, which is the next book in chapter 11, late in that book. And about, in fact, in this case, it's not even about, it really was 444 B.C. It's pretty easy to identify this one very specifically. But in chapter 11, at verses 22 and 23, the overseer of the Levites in Jerusalem was Uzzi, the son of Bani, the son of Hashabiah, the son of Mattaniah, the son of Micah, from the, guess what? From the sons of Asaph, who were the singers for the service of the house of God. For there was a commandment from the king concerning them and firm regulation for the song leaders day by day. Skip to chapter 12 and verse 31. Then I had, Nehemiah says, the leaders of Judah come up on top of the wall, and I appointed two great choirs. The first proceeding on the right on top of the wall toward the refuse gate. Hoshaiah, half the leaders of Judah, followed them with Azariah, Ezra, Meshulam, etc. And then skipping down to verse 35, some of the sons of the priests with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, son of Shemaiah, son of Mattaniah, son of Micah, son of Zachar, son of Asaph. Go to 44. On that day, men were also appointed over the chambers for the stores, the contributions, the first fruits, and the tithes, to gather into them from the fields of the cities the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites. For Judah rejoiced over the priests and the Levites who served. They performed the worship of their God and the service of purification, together with the singers and the gatekeepers, in accordance with the command of David and of his son Solomon. For in the days of David and Asaph, in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise, and hymns of thanksgiving to God. And so all Israel, in the days of Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, gave the portions due the singers and the gatekeepers, as each day required, and set apart their consecrated portion for the Levites, and the Levites set apart the consecrated portion for the sons of Aaron. Now, brother, that's a lot of background, I know. A lot of background. But that name Asaph, brethren, it needs to be held in high esteem today as it was back then. And it needs to be recognized as an example of what you as parents can do to this day too. Proverbs 22 will tell us that a good name is more to be desired, brethren, than all treasure, silver and gold. The name of Asaph stood the test of that time. And your family name ought as well. So that down through the ages, and we're at 500 years now, people will be able to know that family stood for their God. That family served their God, worshiped their God. That family fulfilled its responsibilities before their God. And that family, brethren, and that man, Asaph, gave us Psalm 50 is so beautiful. Even as in this last passage, it was David and Asaph together in one breath. This psalm psalm, brethren, ought to be considered likewise, is just certainly rising to the level of even David, that sweet psalmist of Israel. It sounds like this. The Mighty One, God the Lord, has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shone forth. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire devours before Him, and it is very tempestuous around Him. He summons the heavens above and the earth to judge His people. Gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Hear, all my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am your God. Your God, I do not reprove you for your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine, and all it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls, or drink the blood of male goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and pay your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to tell of my statutes and to take my covenant in your mouth? For you hate discipline, and you cast my words behind you. And when you see a thief, you're pleased with him, and you associate with adulterers. You let your mouth loose in evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I kept silence. You thought that I was just like you. I will reprove you and state the case in order before your eyes. Now consider this, you who forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. He who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. Friends, obviously, we could go back and we could look at that line by line. Maybe we ought to. I'll just buff that for next week. But for today, brethren, I just want you to get Asaph, while still living in 975 B.C., is chosen by both David and God to be the chief of the musicians, the singers, the players, and his own family involved with the symbols. And Asaph and his sons, for the next 500 years, will sometimes forget and sometimes remember and sometimes fail and sometimes succeed, but evermore, brethren, be drawn back when they fail to the service of their God. Let that family and that Psalm 50 become, brethren, for you, just the rallying cry of your family. Let us be like the sons, like the daughters of Asaph. Let us be like these people who understood the magnificence of their God, fire and tempest before Him in the early going, who understood to appreciate and give thanksgiving to their God, to offer the sacrifices that are mentioned in those last, in the early going there, verses 4 through 6, that section about them. Then comes the judgment in verse 7. Hear my people, I'll speak. Israel, I'll testify. And he says, brethren, God is not looking for your stuff. Now they had to offer these sacrifices. So do we. We have to behave properly and worship our God properly. And therefore, without the instruments that Asaph is so involved in, if we're going to be Christians today. But brethren, to worship our God with an outpouring of such thanksgiving. And then comes that dread warning after that. I will judge you. I don't need your physical stuff, but I need that heart. I need you to worship me internally that way, Old Testament or New. And I will punish those who fail. I will punish those who use my name and who use my law and who utter my words and who talk about me and who pretend to live their lives by what I say while all the time they're just throwing those words over their shoulders. I will judge, I will judge, I will judge. Asaph, brethren, so God. And so must we. To give of our hearts a daily sacrifice that never ceases of praise and thanksgiving to our God so that he will accept the physical sacrifices that we offer so different from theirs in the Old Testament when we assemble first day of the week for Bible study than at any other time. Who is Asaph, brethren? Asaph is the companion to David and the for us even today, as David is, a man after God's own heart, and Asaph particularly, teaching us about how to worship our God. So here's your assignment. Lesson's over. Psalms 73 through 83, 11 more psalms, are also Asaphs. I'm not sure if I'll take the time to go and tear into them. You know, what we'll do with 50, we'll see. But brethren, 50. And then 73 through 83. Go read what it is to worship God in spirit and in truth. Appreciate your attention this morning. As always, we offer the invitation. If you are one who has been studying and are ready to become a Christian this morning, you believe that gospel, that Jesus is risen from the dead. You are sorry for the way you behave, and you're willing to change your life. You have the courage to confess his name before us this day, that he is Lord, and to be immersed in water, baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Let your walk with him begin this day. And if you've been negligent, or you've been weak, or you've just been troubled and confused, and you need help, let me know. We can pray for you. We can study with you. We can help you. If we can be a servant.